Hi, this is Lori, your host of Happiness Hangout, a space to come and elevate your happiness levels. You, me, and our guests will discuss and help you apply happiness to all aspects of your life, even if you're already happy. Get your daily boost of information to help you feel your best. Well, hi, everybody. This is Lori Peters from the Happiness Hangout, a place and space to help you feel your best. So glad you could join us tonight to talk about forgiveness. But I have to do one thing first. And forgive me for doing this if there's any Canadian fans listening. But I live in Cleveland, and my team, the Cleveland Indians, the Tribe, is going to the World Series. So I am a little overexcited about that tonight. So cheers to the Cleveland Indians, and thank you for that. All right, so we are going to get to our guest tonight. I'm very excited about this topic because it's a very important topic about forgiveness. And this is something that is very close to our hearts and something that people have trouble with. And so we really want to talk about it and talk it through tonight. So tonight we have Carolyn C.J. Jones. She's a forgiveness expert and guide, multi-award-winning author, speaker, coach, and creator of the Change Your Story, Change Your Life programs. First and foremost, C.J. is a leader. This she demonstrated in her professional career as a registered nurse while employed by Colorado's Medicaid program. At the state level, CJ created, developed, and managed a program for medically fragile children who were dependent on high-tech machinery for their lives. The program allowed them to be cared for at home with hourly nursing care rather than living in the hospital intensive care unit. Because of this program, each child's story was changed, and that drastically changed their life. Even though proven as a leader at the state level, CJ's personal experiences are at the heart of her leadership abilities. She spent 35 years angry and bitter over her childhood until in 2005, she learned to change that story when she discovered forgiveness. In current day, it has become her passion to help people discover the freedom available when they experience the peace, joy, and love. When they discover the peace, joy, and empowerment that occur when they are forgiving. As forgiveness expert and guide, she uses the same skills now that she displayed in leading the children's program, only now there is more wisdom and more passion. CJ created the Yippie method to lead others through their unique issues so that they too can change their story and change their life. Welcome, Carolyn CJ Jones, to the Happiness Hangout.
Oh, thank you, Lori. I'm delighted to be here. This is great.
Well, you've got me. I mean, I'm always a pretty up person, but you've really got me on an up night because my Cleveland Indians just are going to the World Series. So I'm very excited to be doing the show, and I'm excited to have you here tonight. So I think it's just a perfect synergy for this.
Yes, what a great thing. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And again, I do apologize to my Canadian fans who listen to the show, but you know, we won the NBA championship, and now we're going on for the MLB championship. And you know, this is a first for us in many, many years. So this town deserves it. So let's get on to what we're talking about tonight in forgiveness, a topic that is very close to people's hearts, and everybody has some sort of forgiveness issue that they've had to deal with in life, whether they have forgiven, haven't forgiven, or are trying to forgive. And I guess what I'd like to start with, CJ, is talking to you about your happiness. I know now that you're a happy person, but tell us a little bit about your story when things weren't going so great in your life.
Well, yes, I was a happy person when I was drinking and drugging. I did 30 years of drinking and drugging, and I was happy then when I was doing those things back then. That's what showed up, but really underneath of it all, I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. I was very angry and bitter over my childhood and blamed everyone and everything for my unhappiness. I looked toward other people and situations to make me happy, And because that's not where happiness comes from, I never found it from other people. And I was always angry at people or situations for not making me happy. I was miserable, Lori.
Well, because we know where happiness really comes from, and it's not from external sources. Although external people do help us, you know, through our challenges, and I'm not saying that people aren't worthy of being part of our lives. They absolutely are. But we both know where happiness really comes from, don't we?
Yes. Yes.
From the inside.
The inside, yes. I am blessed to live in a state of gratitude today, and so that's like the foundation of my happiness.
So how did you work through that to get to the point where you didn't have a happy childhood and you got to the point where you are today? What was that process like for you?
Well, there's a bit of a story here. You mind if I tell it?
Not at all.
Okay, great. What happened was this. I was married for 20 years to another alcoholic, and the relationship was pretty volatile, very verbally and emotionally abusive, and that went both ways. And I threatened many, many times to leave the relationship, but I never did. And then I fell in love with another man after my ex and I had been married for 20 years, and I thought this other man loved me to the core like I loved him to the core. So I left my marriage to make myself available to him. And when I found out he didn't like me, I lost it. I became disoriented. I lost touch with time. I drank and cried for 2 months. I couldn't feed myself. I was a real mess. I hit rock bottom. After that 2 months, I desperately sought sobriety. And it's been through sobriety that I've learned to do self-introspection and learn to be responsible for my own feelings. And I stopped learning, I stopped expecting to get this from other people. It just showed up. It just showed up.
Oh, really? Do you think there were things that triggered that to happen, that are certain instances that happened in your life to bring you to that point? Or, I had an epiphany, too, about my happiness, and I believe that epiphany wouldn't have happened unless there were several things preceding it to really get me there. Do you think the same
right.
thing happened to you?
Yes. And first it happened with me when I learned to be grateful. I have a story around that. And then the second time that really put me on top was when I stumbled upon forgiveness. So those are two huge practices that when we do them, we can live in more peace and with more freedom in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us more about about the process of being able to get, through the forgiveness process. How did you walk through that change to get you to the point of, I'm at point A, I really want to be at point Z. How did you get there?
Yeah, it's a powerful story. Let me tell it. I was 3 years sober and I was doing a self-appraisal. What I was looking at specifically was the ways in which my behavior had led to the demise of my various relationships with men during the course of my life. And what I realized was I used to get drunk and yell and scream at them that they were worthless and would never amount to anything. Can you believe I said that? I was just horrified when I remembered that, and thank gosh they've all forgiven me. But the aha and the epiphany came when I realized that I didn't even mean it about them. I meant it about myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason it was an epiphany was this. It stood to reason that if I told these men that they were worthless and I didn't mean it about them, I meant it myself, about myself, it stood to reason that all those years my father called me worthless and said I would never amount to anything, he really meant it about himself.
Right. It's whoever says it, it sticks with them, really.
Yes, yes. It's like the issue of hurt people hurt others, or hurt people hurt. And,
right. You
know, what happened then, Lori, was suddenly, I mean, it was life-changing for me, because suddenly I saw him as just another human being who was wounded, just like me. And then I saw my mother in the same light. I saw had compassion for her wounds. And after about a year of going back and forth between compassion and anger, because I was not letting go of my anger easily, and after I went back and forth between them, one day I realized that I had forgiven them. And I truly believe that what happened was I opened a space in my heart into which forgiveness could flow.
Hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people are in your position where the anger is still there, but yet they know they don't feel right. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you open that space? How do you open that space?
We go back to the beginning and apply the Yippie method, which is a method that I created to go through the process that ends up in forgiveness. And it starts with mindset, and we yearn to have a certain mindset that's composed of willingness, letting go or surrender, and gratitude. And then we investigate, that's the I in Yippie, and we investigate ourselves and our feelings, our hurts, our resentments, our grief, our guilt, all of those things, we investigate those. Then we practice the process, the PP in Yippie, and that involves looking at, well, writing down feelings and things that are coming up after one has investigated. And then we look with compassion, and I guide my clients through a guided visualization that allows them to see with more compassion for the person who offended them and to see themselves with compassion.
I think that's the key. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that really hits me. That's the key, to be able to see the compassion of what the other person's going through and yourself, to let your guard down. Because because a lot of the anger is coming from not letting your guard down. And when you can see the compassion for somebody else and let your guard down, you can let, you know, some of that, what you're saying, actually go to work for you.
Right, right, exactly. So that's how I work with people. And then after compassion, forgiveness comes in its own time. And it's a byproduct of working through the Yippie method. But people leave my program very empowered and forgiving people. That, for instance, I had a client that was so abused as a child, she was shaken, and her head hit the corner of the table, and they didn't treat her for it. Well, she's legally blind now because of that incident. And so there's that, and then they put her in foster care, and she was passed from foster home to foster home, where there was verbal, physical, and sexual abuse. And so she had a lot of anger toward all these people. And I, in my class, I gave a definition of forgiveness, which is, it's the choice we hurt to suffer, and it's the choice we make to hurt and suffer less, even though we're wounded. And that clicked with her. And she was able to see it as a choice that she had to hurt less. And so she's been able to forgive those people in her life.
You know, there's so much you said about the Yippie method that really struck me. The part about being able to, you know, let your guard down, the part about being able to, I think a lot of times we're really hard on ourselves as well as other people. And then going inside yourself and really, you know, kind of digging in and seeing what's going on. Some of that people, they can't even wrap their arms around doing that. They've never experienced that kind of process. So when you have somebody who's kind of a tough cookie, do you deal differently with that kind of person? Like, I'm thinking of my dad who, you know, learned to cover everything up, a tough cookie, a hard worker, treated me great, family guy, but like couldn't maybe do the kinds of things you and I are talking about. How do you deal with a tough cookie? How do you deal with a tough cookie? Do you just work longer on the process with them? Or, because for me, it'd be easier. Like I'm open enough to, you know, allow that to happen, and others are. How do you deal with that kind of person?
Very gently. Mm. Very gently. And because there's, I believe, great fear going on, and to look. Or it's just, people just don't know how to do it. And so what I do, Lori, is I focus really heavily on the willingness. And if they're, and I say to them, would you consider being willing to take a look at your behavior? Would you be willing to consider it?
Yeah, because sometimes they're not even at the point where you don't even know if they're willing to consider it. That's the thing. And I know a lot of people like this. You know, I'm at the age where my parents and people who were friends with my parents in that age range, they never really, experienced something like you're talking about.
Right.
It was about going to work, having your family. It was very externally driven. They didn't go into themselves like we do. And if somebody will let themselves go there just a little bit, even if it's in private where nobody sees, it's so meaningful. Because even I was raised that way, with a very, this is what you do in life. And I think when you let that go a little bit and you really explore all the opportunities and things you can do to make yourself, to may have a better life and make yourself better. But even if they have to do that alone and not tell anybody, that's fine. Just do it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, that's where the writing comes in and is so valuable. If I can get the person to be willing to do some writing, I start by asking them to write, like, write down one person you're angry with, and in two sentences, why. And then what I do is I have people write with their opposite hand, their non-dominant hand, and write about what they just wrote. Write about why they're angry, but write with their non-dominant hand, because really deep stuff comes up when you write with your opposite hand. It's like the opposite side of your brain is being used that's not typically used for writing. There's been research done on this that shows that when you... Yeah. And I actually experienced it myself with my book, I journaled with my left hand, my non-dominant hand, and, oh, Lori, all sorts of deep things came up. Incredible things.
So you're saying you're using the other side of your brain?
That's what they say, yeah. When you use your opposite side, like the right hand is guided by the left half of the brain, and the left side of your left hand is guided by your right side of your brain. Mm-hmm. So I was having to use my right brain more when I was writing, and all of these things came out. So anyway, I find that to be a very useful tool for people. Of course, if someone's resistant, they're usually resistant to trying that too.
Oh, really? Even the writing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so personal. You can keep that to yourself. So I guess I kind of thought that maybe that might be an opener for people who are resistant, but it isn't.
Yeah, I thought so too. But for some, they just can't go there.
It's too painful.
Yeah, and it's so foreign.
And it may be too hard for them to do anything. So I understand what you're saying about like the baby steps and about very easily and slowly doing one thing at a time. And I just think about my dad who really, really needed that. Great dad, great provider, good guy. But I knew from what my stories my mother told me, he didn't like to talk about it. But there are so many people out there like that who either turn out good because they just are going to be and they make sure they are, or others who go through that and aren't good. Either way, they need to go through the same process, which is going inside themselves and dealing with what's going on.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That is the key that turns the lock. Is learning to do introspection and being honest about it, and that sets you free.
Mm-hmm.
You free. You would think that you would feel embarrassed or guilty, and at first you do feel those things, but when you get a little bit more used to doing it, you look at yourself as an outside observer and you go, huh, I did that. Wow. That isn't something that I want to be known for. So you take action to either change it or assure that you don't do it again in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to tell our callers, if you have questions or issues that you're dealing with forgiveness on, you can feel free to call in at 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. And quite openly, CJ, a lot of our callers or a lot of our listeners are on listen after the show on podcast. But for those of you listening, feel free to call in and talk to CJ about, you know, forgiveness, whatever questions you might have or issues you might have. So you know, as we walk through this, and the Yippee method sounds like a very in-depth process. So you were telling us your story, how you dealt with your past. Expound a little bit more about like transitioning into how your happiness, how that result of what you went through transitioned to the happiness you have today. Like, when you got rid of that, how did that manifest into happiness for today for you?
Well, it was just a sense of being freed from my prison. It's like I was in this prison. I smiled all the time. Everyone thought I was great and doing fine, and inside I was dying slowly.
Mm.
And actually, it got to the point, Lori, where I was praying to God to let me die because I was not going to kill myself because I'm afraid to do that. And I'm afraid I wouldn't do it right. And because I was praying to die because I thought the only reason that the only purpose I have in life is to be miserable over the abuse that I suffered as a child. And that's the only purpose to my life. And of course, I didn't want to be around to deal with those consequences. Well, what happened was I went to a meeting, and because I was so distraught. And this is in 2006 or 7. So I had been sober for 5 or 6 years. And I went to a meeting. A man by the name of Steve shared, and he shared about my feelings, and he shared about my past. So I was really prompted to go up and talk to him after the meeting, which I did. It turned out I was able to give him input of things that I had done that worked. I was able to give him my therapist's name and number. I was able to give him books to read that were great about, you know, dealing with trauma and dealing with abuse, like Claudia mm-hmm. Black and Alice White and John Bradshaw. These were, I was able to give him those resources, and he was so grateful that he almost started crying. Well, I left to go back to my car, and on the way there, I started crying because I realized in a flash what had happened. And what had happened was I had discovered the purpose of my life, which is to share about my story and how I got beyond it, and to share some of the, you know, nuts and bolts of how to get beyond your story so that I can guide people out of their pain that they're in. And with that, I immediately said, I'm so sorry, God, for asking you to let me die. I take that back. I now where I do have a purpose in life, so thank you very much.
It seems like people who go through the hardest things end up being the best coaches, speakers, authors, trainers, because you have the we all have that passion, and that's what comes of it. And you can't really have that passion without, I hate to say this, oftentimes without going through scenarios that have enabled you to live that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like you don't know what joy is until you've experienced sorrow.
Right. Well, CG, tell us a little bit about more about forgiveness. What are the myths and truths around? What are the myths and truths around forgiveness?
Yes, this is a great question. People think that when they are forgiving, they are telling the other person that they condone what happened. And that is not correct. You are never saying that what happened was okay. Mm-hmm. All you're doing when you forgive is letting your heart, letting the pain leave your heart, letting the hurt out so that you can find peace. It really has nothing to do with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Why you can forgive someone who has passed away, because they don't have to be there. It only has to do with you and that decision that you make.
So it's very appropriate ask this question? And I felt this to be true. Very appropriate to say, even to a person right here, and if you said it in a letter or right to their face, I absolutely forgive you. You weren't the only person in the scenario. I was here too. I forgive you, but we both have to move on and move forward. So even though I don't believe we should be in each other's lives, I absolutely forgive you and wish the best for you. So that's a way you can do it to a live person, can't you?
Yeah, that's a very nice way to do that. That's a very nice way to do that. But you don't have to if you don't want to. You don't ever have to see or talk to the person again if you choose not to.
Mm.
That's very true or common for people who have been the victims of incest, and they just don't want to see their attackers again, and but they can still forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that person is alive. But yes, what you described was a beautiful way to say it to them.
So if they're not there, do you recommend like writing a letter or saying out loud? Like, or is it up to the person how it feels best for them?
Well, I do recommend writing a letter, and I mean pen to paper, not on the computer. Mm-hmm. There is something very cathartic that happens, not just when you write with your opposite hand, but when you write, period. And there's just something cathartic about it. And so that's what I urge people to do or invite them to do, is write about it.
Okay. So what about those people out there, whether they're listening or someone else is listening, and they're thinking of somebody who can't forgive? They're just very stuck or stubborn or whatever it is. What advice do you have to people for people who just cannot forgive?
I would say, you know, when you forgive, you lower your risk of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, and even cancer.
Because of stress reduction? Or
yeah.
How does
forgiveness act in that way? What's his name? Fred Luskin, who's a PhD psychologist at Stanford University, discovered this in his Stanford Forgiveness Project several years ago. And that's what they discovered, that when people forgave, it lowered their risk for all of those things. And the opposite is true. When you don't forgive, you raise your stress level. Hang on, I'm going to switch phones. You raise your stress level, and you get all sorts of toxins circulating in your body from the cells that put it out because of being stressed or being angry. That has physical consequences.
Well, that's an amazing reason to allow yourself to do that for health purposes. And I always think of stress. Because if you're hanging on and you're letting it eat you up, that's a form of stress. And we know it's been proven that stress kills. So that's just a that's a pretty wonderful reason to let it go and work on letting it go.
Yes. And if someone can't do that, even though it's to their benefit health-wise, and maybe they don't care about that, and they'll take their chances, I would recommend appealing to their, would you consider being willing to hurt and suffer less? Would you be willing to consider hurting and suffering less? Is that something that interests you?
Right. It should be. But even if they say yes, you know, there are some things that are, I will say I've never been through something that isn't forgivable so far in my life. Very lucky. But I know people who have been through horrible, heinous situations, things where they've had things done to them that are, you know, beyond acceptable. How does a person who's been through a heinous crime where someone's done something to them or their children or family, is it harder for someone who has been through something so hard to try to get to that place? Or is it all about who you are inside, you know, and how you're made up? I don't know. I just don't know how some people can forgive. And I see them doing it. I've heard about people who, you know, people have killed their children and they find a way to forgive. Yeah. How does that happen? Do you have some comments or thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think it comes from inside and one's makeup and the level to which one can open their heart. So I think the more one can open their heart and try and look and see what was happening from the other point of view, that, again, doesn't excuse it, but sometimes it makes it more palatable to understand, and that makes it easier to forgive.
Right. You know, you wonder, I guess I wonder if I could ever do it, and I hope I don't have to find out, but I really, really honor and I'm very respectful and admire people who can do that in situations where people have hurt them or others so close to them, maybe even to the point of death, which is the ultimate, you know, or rape or whatever it is, like the ultimate, I don't know, it's amazing. And I really honor those people for being able to come forward and do that. And again, I do agree that's how you're built and it's where you might be psychologically and who you are. But wow, I mean, I think if people are going through something like that, they really should seek out someone like you to work through that with them, because that is something that could eat you alive.
Yes, it will eat you alive. And the reason why getting support is so helpful is sometimes we can't see things that other people can see. And sometimes we need someone to just acknowledge that what we went through was really bad. And you need to have another person doing that with you.
Yeah, like a helper.
A helper. Yeah, exactly, like a helper.
Well, tell us a little bit, you know, you've been through this and you've worked through it. You help other people work through forgiveness. Now that you've gone past that point, how has it opened you up in your life? Like, obviously now how have you changed from this? What passions have you developed and who have you become since you've forgiven?
Oh, wow. I've become like an open lotus blossom comes to mind. And oh, I'm just so much more aware of what is going on around me in my environment, with the people around me. I'm much more compassionate and much more loving, much more kind. I still have troubles with my tolerance at times, but I'm working on that. I have a passion. Well, I developed a passion when I was living on a sailboat with my ex-husband at the very end of our marriage, and that was varnishing old teak wood, you know, the trim on boats. It's so meditative, the sanding of the wood and then the laying on of the varnish, and doing that as many coats as are needed to make it shine like a mirror, reflect like a mirror. I love that. That's a passion. I have a passion for my feral kitty, Izzy, who allows me to show her love, because she didn't for the first 2 years I had her.
Oh.
Yeah, she was that terrified. And now she still won't let me pet her belly, or she doesn't come into my lap or anything like that, but we have these petting routines, and I'm very passionate about showing her love, because she showed me how to love without conditions.
Right. You know, I don't want to interrupt you, CJ, but we do have a caller, and I'd like to get to that because the show is going to come up to a quick end here. So we do have a caller, Ryan on line two. We'd like to take the call. Go ahead and put him through, Doug.
Lori, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Ryan. Thank you for calling.
Okay. How you doing, Lori? Thank you.
Good, good. Thank you. What's your question to CJ?
No, I was just going to make a couple of comments, CJ. Your stories are just so inspiring here, listening to them all. I was able to get dialed a little bit after the 8 o'clock hour here, so on the East Coast. But, yeah, I do want to congratulate Cleveland Indians as well, getting the World Series. So it's been a long time coming for this team. But anyways, when you talk about forgiveness, I know Lori was kind of talking about, you know, her dad. And my dad was very similar to, you know, he was such a great, great person, great father figure, you know, to me and my brother and stuff, and you know, great, you know, husband to my mom. But there was always a couple of things that he had, like, deep with his family that he could just never forgive, no matter what happened. I remember, you know, my mom telling me stories about, you know, the Kent State shootings way back in the early 70s, obviously, which was a wacky time in this country, and my dad's brother was in the military at the time, and they just had like the biggest disagreement about how the military handled that whole situation. My dad was, you know, very, very vocal about it, and of course, with my dad's brother being in the military, of course, you know, he was always backing up the military at all costs. And, you know, these two guys, for the longest time after that whole conversation, never had any kind of relationship at all, not one iota. My dad passed away recently from cancer, and, you know, his brother lived in Florida, never bothered showing up to the funeral or anything like that. And I still think about that it probably still went back to that whole conversation. And I think a lot of it does, you know, was on my dad's side as well, that he could have, you know, changed his thoughts about his brother. And I always thought about things like that in my life, because I have a brother as well, and I have a son and a fiance, and, you know, I've learned a lot from my dad. I think that was the number one thing that I really have learned from him, is all the great qualities that he had, was really trying to spot some of the things maybe he could have done better in life. And I think really forgiveness was one that he just was just really lacking to just such a degree that, you know, it really killed his relationship, not only with his brother, but I think with his, you know, his mom and dad in relationship because of that whole ordeal. So, it was just kind of a comment. You know, you had some great stories you were sharing and stuff. I thought I would just kind of share that one, that, you know, you could definitely learn a lot from your parents and situations. And I always kind of said to myself, I'm always going to try to, you know, either, you know, you don't agree with everything someone says, as bad as a discussion you might have. It's, yeah, just something you just have to get on with. And I thought that whole, you know, scenario my dad had, again, you know, back in the 70s, I was, you know, born in 1976, very young back then. But, you know, back in that day with the Vietnam and how the country was a completely different animal back then, where, you know, 18-year-olds were getting, you know, drafted in the military a lot. You know, it was really a, you know, volatile time for a lot of people. So I guess we'll never really know what wartime was back then. But I don't know, it's just kind of a thought that I have. I think some of these stories that both of you kind of shared, I kind of was thinking about my dad and that kind of relationship. You know, just taking a couple steps back, and, you know, it just kind of comes from within when you, you know, forgive somebody and kind of put your ego and your attitude off to the side, I think, a lot of times, you know. So, but that's just what I wanted to say. It's been great. It's one of your better shows, Lori, you've done at the Happiness Hangout. So I really enjoyed this, TJ. what you've overcome has been very inspiring, to say the least. So, no problem. I'll hang up here, listen to the rest of the show, and thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. And, you know, what he says, you know, is really important, because he's talking about a parent who really affected him, and then moving forward, you know, you have to take it a step further and try to do better. You know, CJ, right. You know, once you become aware of things, you got to take that and say, okay, here's what he did. I love my dad. I love what he, you know, who he was. Now I want to take his experience and maybe do a little bit better. I guess that's all we can do in life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I went to Kent State in 1970 when the kids were killed, and that's Yeah. So it was interesting, Ryan, that you brought up Kent State, but yeah, that was a very volatile time, and everyone had their very set opinions about the way things should have gone. But at any rate, where was I headed with this?
You lose your train of thought?
I did.
That's okay. That's okay. No, you were just saying about how, you know, forgiveness, and everybody had their own train of thought about big issues like the Kent State shootings and,
right.
you know, where
and
people
have,
sat with that.
I have a caregiving client that is the age of my parents. So she's like in her late 80s. And she is still angry and talks about what a witch, only that's not the word she uses. Her mm-hmm. mother-in-law was, her stepmother was. And I've said to her, would you like to do something about the feeling you have when you think about her? No, I want it has to stay the way it is, and so I just back off. And
because some people, they get something out of being in anger
yes.
and pain. Some people,
yes.
they like the feeling, I think.
Yes. They get attention. They can play the victim. They
right.
they get attention and feel better. But what they don't realize, unfortunately, is because I played that role for 30, 35 years, and there's something better that exists on the other side of all of that stuff.
Better than even feeling the way you do. You might not be able to imagine that, but why not try? Hey, you can always go back to the way you were. But I would say
yes.
almost 100% of the time, you won't.
Right. Right, exactly, Lori. Exactly.
Well, you know what I'd like to do right now? I would love for you to tell our audience about what's going on and what you do and how you help people. Tell us about what you do, CJ.
Okay. I work with mostly women, but I also do work with men to help them find a story that might be robbing them of their peace. And we go through the Yippee method that I described, so that they come out on the other side with more peace, calm, happiness, joy, and freedom. And so I do that through coaching, and I do that through speaking. Now, I'm actually doing a holiday thing where a special, I don't want to call it a special, but a holiday offer. And that is for people who are nervous or stressed about the upcoming holiday. I'm offering a 45-minute coaching session with me in which we can talk about a plan of action for this person and maybe get them to a point where maybe they even feel less anger. And that I'm offering for $77, which is great. My hourly rate is $200. So you can see that that's a really nice value.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. And how do they get to you? How could someone contact you?
Yeah, access me through email at Carolyn CJ Jones at yahoo.com.
So Carolyn CJ Jones at Yahoo.
Yes. Yes. There are two J's that follow right after each other. People get confused about that. It's my first and my last name with my initials in the middle.
That's wonderful. And you have workshops going on too, don't you?
Yeah, I just got done with one. It was awesome. One of the participants said it was a rich tapestry.
So when's your next one?
What's that? The next one?
Can we find information on that somewhere?
You can keep an eye on my website. I'll probably do one in February or March. And
okay.
My website is CarolynCJJones.com.
Wonderful. Anything else you need to let us know, CJ?
One more thing. I'm doing an anthology with 15 authors in it called How and When Healing Happens, Inspirational Stories from Women for Women. If you are a woman out there who has suffered adversity and come through the other side and now is thriving, I would love to speak with you. And you too can email me at CarolynCJJones@yahoo.com because I'm looking for authors.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, CJ Jones, for being on the show. It's been it's a very beautiful thing to be able to let go, to see the other side. And I just love giving that opportunity for people to open up and be able to do that. So we'll be putting this on podcast for thousands of people to hear as well. So that's going to be coming out in a couple of days. And I thank you again for your work and being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was really a good show. I really enjoyed it.
Well, I did too, and thank you again.
You bet. Thank you.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, AirServe of Mentor and AirServe of Strongsville, residential and commercial heating and cooling companies in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Both veteran-owned companies provide best warranties and guarantees and best financing in the business. Go to www.airserve.com, AIRESERV.com/Strongsville for the west side, /Mentor for the east side. Humanity Thriving Out Loud, read The Magic Happens magazine at www.themagichappensnow.com. I would also encourage all of you to see my amazing new digital business card. It's from V Global, and it's my digital business card, and it is at www.lori.peters.123look.com. You can find out everything about what's going on in the Happiness Hangout at www.lori.peters.123look.com. Check it out, and you can even get one for yourself. So thanks all so much for being at the Happiness Hangout. See you in 2 weeks. Go Tribe!
Hi, this is your host, Lori. Want to get more happiness? Check out all the free readings, activities, and my blog at my website. Want to learn how to deal with life's challenges from your positive core? Check out Empowering Yourself to Happiness class, done totally online. You can find it all at www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net. Come explore and feel better wherever you are. This is Lori Peters with the Happiness Hangout. I provide presentations on happiness and well-being to businesses, schools, and anyone involved in wellness and professional days. Check out tons of free resources and activities also at my website, www.happinesshangout.net. Feel better wherever you are. Help us grow the Happiness Hangout Show. Become a sponsor. Businesses and nonprofits, get your info out there to thousands of my listeners all over the world for just pennies. Individuals can also sponsor one or more shows, and you get a shout out to your favorite charity. Several packages available. Come see what you get and put out there what's important to you. Go to www.happinesshangout.net. www.happinesshangout.net for more information.